Good day, my name is Michelle and welcome to Nova's Business Report for the Market Watch. Today I have Ray O'Hara from RMB, and as usual we talk about the bond markets. Ray, so tell me about the special auction, as far as I understand, that was held last week, and Bank of Namibia on behalf of government came to market with great expectation because there's a lot of cash sloshing around, I understand. So what can you tell us what happened at the auction?
Good morning, Michelle, and I hope you had a good long weekend. Yeah, so just before the long weekend arrived, we had the switch auction, not the switch auction, a very special auction. And this was just to match a maturity of the GC25 and coupon payments. So there was about 2.7 billion that was on offer, which is quite a substantial amount. It's the largest offering we had in auction since the 2022. And this was, you know, like I said, to match the new cash that's coming through, and also because there was an elevated market liquidity position that we've been seeing for the majority of this year. However, what played out wasn't as expected from their perspective. We saw that there was an under-allocation of just under 600 million, so 560 million unallocated. And it's very interesting because it, you know, it speaks to the tune that, you know, despite there being a lot of cash, it doesn't seem like a lot of that cash is actually earmarked towards these government bonds.
But maybe I can just interrupt you there, Ray. So you say under-allocated, but oversubscribed or undersubscribed?
Also undersubscribed.
Also undersubscribed. Yeah. Okay. Why would you say was that the reason, that there was an undersubscription given all the cash?
Yeah, so I think it's an interesting scenario that we find ourselves in. So I think one of the things is that you've got a lot of the cash flows coming through from your GC25 maturity holders. And I mean, those are very short-term in nature investors, and therefore they're probably looking to reinvest it in shorter-term funds for their money market funds. And those assets weren't really there. I mean, you only had the GC27s and GC28s. But I think a more interesting aspect was that, you know, the timing of the auction actually came, you know, when you had all this craziness around the tariffs and we saw sell-off in your offshore market. So it almost felt like a lot of the investors felt that, you know, if they've got this excess cash and there's actually quite a good opportunity to pick up offshore assets, from a local asset requirement, I think majority of the asset managers have met their threshold. I think the latest statistics show that they're close to the 53% level. So it just meant that from their perspective, it makes sense to say, if I've got excess cash, maybe take an opportunity and invest offshore as opposed to local.
Yeah. Is there a way that one can check this afterwards to see if that in fact happened?
I guess we probably see it from an Amfisa report, because usually they do give that allocation there.
Yeah.
But it seems that the auction is very, very telling. And I don't think it's just purely, you know, offshore local. I think there's also, there's been substantial new local corporate bond issuances as well, which gives you a good, you know, diversification benefit, because I think a lot of the funds are sitting quite overweight government, especially the crowding out effect that we've been worried about before. So with these corporate issuances coming through, we've seen very, very strong participation there. So it might be that the investors are not only looking offshore, but they might be looking at other alternatives that are local in terms of your corporate issuances.
So that's now an interesting point because for many years, I mean, there's been so many initiatives to get the capital market growing outside of the government side. Can you maybe indicate whether there were new issuers for the first time, or was it your usual corporates that have just increased their issuances?
Correct. It was your usual corporates that came through. I think the most recent one was us, First Rand. We issued a sustainable note. That also went very well. It was very, very heavily subscribed, and it was in the short-term space as well, in this three-year bucket, which is a very popular space. And I think also just given what's happening globally, you're seeing that a lot of your investors and fund managers are actually trying to reduce their duration. So they're switching away from your longer-dated instruments to your short-dated instruments, which again might be the thing that, you know, didn't play in the favor of central bank last week, because the majority of the issuances we were hoping to issue was in the longer side of it.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe let's talk about spreads then. So given that the Bank of Namibia's requirement is more in the longer end, those were obviously then mostly undersubscribed then.
Correct.
Can you maybe give us an indication of the expectation? Where did the market want to pitch those yields?
It's very, very interesting, because what you actually saw, I mean, you saw some spreads that were, you know, widened by almost 80 to 100 basis points away from the pre-auction level. They weren't allocated there, but what was interesting is that we actually saw some allocations at 50 basis points higher than the pre-auction level in your short term of the curve, or short the end of the curve, if I predicted. So I think what's very interesting there is that on the one side, market has been, you know, has been asking for a higher yield just because, given the huge maturity profile that's, you know, coming up and the reinvestment risk and the increased supply, you know, they want to just be compensated for that increased risk. But at the same time, you're actually seeing that the central bank is hearing the market and understanding that this is the reality. And they are actually allocating it at higher spreads, which is also very good because I think you're finding that the market and the issuer are actually meeting at the halfway mark. But I do think overall that there'll probably be this continued upward pressure, specifically taking into account that the sinking fund for your Euro bond will only, I mean, the remaining amount of 125 million US is actually going to be sourced in the local market. And that's going to be about 2.3 billion extra new local bonds that need to be issued as well. So I think this increase in supply is going to most likely warrant just upward pressure on yields.
Let's quickly talk on the reinvestment risk. So this was now the first auction with a new government in place. Is the reinvestment risk seen as normal, or has there been changes to the view on the reinvestment risk?
No, I think it's concerning because, I mean, like I said, the majority of the players do seem like they are in the short end of the curve. And the reality is, from the issuer's perspective, is that they don't want to be issuing too much short-dated bonds because the maturity profile is so front-loaded right now. Mm-hmm. We've got GI25 that's maturing now in July. You've got this Euro bond, then you've got GC26, 27, 20. So it's like it's almost every 6 months there's going to be some sort of maturity. So it's understandable why you don't have a lot of these instruments in your government curve. But from an investor's perspective, this is where they're really looking for value and where they're trying to place it. And what they are doing is that it does seem like if they're going to go longer, they then push upward pressure on their spreads on the yields.
Yes. Okay. Now, that's it. And maybe just as a last question, remind our listeners again the link between what happens at these auctions and rate views and rate announcements.
Yes. Okay. So generally, I mean, the rule of thumb is that, you know, if you've got, because what we do now have now is that we're anticipating that there's probably going to be one more cut now in May, which will probably happen in the US and SA, and then possibly another one in November. It's, you know, inflation. Just and that would usually cause the curve to steepen. So your front end will drop and then your tail end will start to pick up. So you see a steepening of the curve, which is kind of what we see play out. However, obviously, if inflation really does pick up aggressively, given everything that's happening globally, and I think the unfortunate thing, it's not the nice inflation that's coming, it's more the cost push, that just puts even more upward pressure on your long-dated yields. So even though you might not necessarily see a hike or a cut coming through, it could be that central banks decide to hold it flat because of inflation concerns. You'll still see this significant steepening in the curve just because price levels are going to be elevated. And in order to protect your purchasing power parity, you need to make sure that the yield actually covers that increase in price levels.
Exactly. Oh, you're talking about a Fed cut now. We'll have to see how that pans out, given Trump's stance on Powell at the moment. Ray, thank you very much for being my guest. And until the next time, and happy trading.
Oh, no, awesome. Thank you. And have an awesome week ahead.